wanted to share with today some debate Torah from our salvation, the Rav and the Haggadah. It's debate Torah in Halacha and in Hashkafa as well. It's also in Haggadah. We're just going to go through the Haggadah with the Rav. It's mostly based on the Sefer Siach HaGrid. Also things that I've heard from my Rebbe Rashef Shlita, and mostly on tapes. Okay, there's no Birchas HaMitzvah in Haggadah. Why is there no Birchas HaMitzvah on the mitzvah of Sefer Tehillim Mitzrayim? That's a famous question with lots of answers. One of the answer which the Rav wanted to quote is the answer of the Ma'aseh Nisim Haggadah. Oh, by the way, yeah, on you have a source sheet there, just a list of topics and where I'm quoting from. Okay. So the Ma'aseh Nisim Haggadah of the Nesivos says as follows. He says, there's no Birchas HaMitzvah in Kiddush. Why don't we say Birchas Hashem? Asher Kiddushanu says Vitzivanu, L'Kaddish says Shabbos. What about Havdalah? There's no Birchas HaMitzvah on Havdalah. How about Benching? Why is there Birchas HaMitzvah on Benching? Interesting. How about on Shahakol? Why don't we say Birchas Hashem? Asher Kiddushanu says Vitzivanu, L'Varech Al HaOchel, and then say the Bracha of Shahakol. It's a mitzvah to say a Bracha. So the Nesivos says the Yesod that any mitzvah whose performance is done as a mitzvah, as a bracha, does not get its own Birchas HaMitzvah. That's what the Nesivos says. Any mitzvah that's performed as a bracha does not get its own Birchas HaMitzvah. Kiddush, Havdalah, Benching, Birchas Hananim, that's what he says. He goes further, the Nesivos, and he says, not only a mitzvah that's performed as a bracha, but a mitzvah which is performed in the framework of a bracha does not get its own Birchas HaMitzvah, and that's the pshat in the Haggadah. The mitzvah of Sibur Tehillim Mitzrayim, at the end of Magid, you say the bracha of Asher Golanu. The bracha of Asher Golanu is part of the mitzvah of Sibur Tehillim Mitzrayim. Magid leads up to that bracha. The Nesivos hold. That's why there's no Birchas HaMitzvah on the mitzvah of Sibur Tehillim Mitzrayim, because the bracha of Asher Golanu is part of the mitzvah of Sibur. Rav Soloveitchik liked this idea a lot, and he developed it further. And Rav Soloveitchik explained that the mitzvah of Sefer Tehillim Mitzrayim is not performed only with the bracha of Asher Golanu. Each of the four kosos is said over a bracha, and each bracha over which the kos is said has an aspect of a kiyum of Sefer Tehillim Mitzrayim. That's how the Rav understood the Gemara. The Gemara says the Dalet kosos were tikkun derech levus. That's the language of the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. And if the Gemara says that the Dalet Kosos, Tiknu Derech Levus, each one gets its own kosher bracha, the Rav understood the Gemara to mean, the Mashmos of the Gemara to mean, it's not Sam O, drink Dalet Kosos, and that's the aspect of Levus. Each of the cups is said over an expression of Levus, i.e., each of the four cups is said over a bracha which has a kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So obviously the second coast is over Magi, that's obvious. Magi talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Benching mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim with the benching. That's the third cup. The fourth cup, Hallel, mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, is mentioned briefly in the Hallel after the meal. And Kiddush, the Rav said, and this Rav likes to speak about a lot, this is in the Siach HaGrid, the Rav held that the Kiddush Lel HaSeh there is the beginning of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. When you say Kiddush for Lel HaSeh there, the Kiddush mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim. It mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim. And since the Gemara is implied that each of the Dalet Kosos has a bracha which has a kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in each kos, that means there's a kiyum of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Kiddush. That's how the Rav understood. That's one point. Number one, it says Yetzias Mitzrayim. Number two, the Kiddush says Asher Bracha Rabbanim B'Klal Rabbanim B'Kol Lashon. We're the chosen nation. So the Rav thinks that's a remez to the fact that we got the Torah, the chosen nation, and the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get the Torah on our Sinai. So that phrase also in the Kiddush is also a kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And finally, the Rav explained as follows: the Shulchan Aruch says that Kiddush at the Lel HaSeder has to be after Seis. Why? Kiddush and Shabbos can be before Seis. Kiddush on Yom Kippur before Shkia. Why is Kiddush on Pesach has to be after Seis? So the Magen Avraham gives one shot. And the Taz gives another pshat. The pshat of the Taz is unclear what he means. The Rav interprets the Taz to mean this idea. That's how the Rav interprets the Taz. Not everyone agrees. But the Rav interprets the Taz to mean, since the first cup of wine at the Seder, the first kosher, not kosher, since the Kiddush, the Leil HaSeder, is a kiyum in the midst of Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim, and the midst of Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim has to be when dafka, balayla. That the Gemara says, it has to be dafka balayla at the same time as the midst of Karban Pesach. So therefore, the Kiddush has to wait until after Seder, because the Kiddush is a kiyum in the midst of Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim. That's how the Rav understood the Taz. Rav Shechter said over Nachmina Lamaisa, possibly, a blind person, the Gemara sounds like, is putter from the midst of Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim. So can a blind person be motzi others with Kiddush B'Leil HaSeder? Rav Shechter thinks it's a shaila, because of this lumpus. If you hold that a blind person is putter from Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim, which the Gemara sounds like he is, and if you hold that the Kiddush at the Leil HaSeder is a kiyum of Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim, then it comes out that a Summa shouldn't be saying Kiddush for others at the Leil HaSeder. That's a very interesting Kiddush Halachu Lamaisa, possibly, or Halachu Lamaisa from Ashefter, based on what the Rav said. Just as a side point, the Rav liked this idea a lot. This idea that any mitzvah that's done within the framework of a bracha does not get its own birchas mitzvah. We don't say birchas mitzvah for Shema. According to most Rishonim, there's no birchas mitzvah for Shema. Why not? Shema is a mitzvah. So the Rav likes to say this idea that if you read the Rambam carefully, the Rambam sounds like the birchos kriya Shema become midrabanan, are part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shema. That's the Rav has a whole mahalakhan. Rav Shechter has it in a Sefer Eretz HaTzvi. Okay, I don't have it. Rav Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi has a siman on Birchos HaMitzvah. Has a long, long discussion. He quotes the whole mahalakhan. That the Rav Zadayk in the Rambam, that the Birchos Kriya Shema, Midrabanan, are not stam brachos that you say before and after Shema. Midrabanan, they enhance the Shema itself, and Midrabanan, you fulfill Shema together with the Birchos Kriya Shema, i.e., Shema becomes a mitzvah that is performed within the framework of a bracha. The bracha is part of the mitzvah, and therefore it gets no birchos hamitzvah. Okay, that's the Rav's approach to why there's no birchos mitzvah in the Haggadah. Next, kol dichten. We invite guests into the Seder after halach manya. The Rav, I heard three pshat in the name of the Rav. Why do we do this? Why are we inviting guests over as the Seder starts? So the Sikh agreed, the Rav says a nice pshat, that it's the fulfillment of it's an expression of chayrus. At the Seder, we're supposed to act like we're a free nation. We're becoming free tonight. We're not slaves anymore. Slaves can't invite guests over. It's not their money. I can't invite guests over to my house if I'm a slave. But inviting guests over is an expression of chayrus. I'm free tonight. I'm my own man. I have my own wealth, my own money, my own house. So as an expression of chayrus, you invite guests over as the Seder begins. It's a very nice shot of why we invite people over at the Seder. The Rav has a similar pshat later on, a parallel pshat later on in the Sikha Grid, by Rechush Gadol. Hashem promises Avram, when Bnei Israel leaves its shrine, they're going to leave the Rechush Gadol with lots of money. All the Mepharshim are bothered, that's a bit of a strange promise, money. Why does Hashem think we have to have money? Why is Hashem focused on we're going to have so much money? Rechush Gadol. So Taka, some Rishonim say Rechush Gadol means spiritual wealth. That's what Hashem meant. Okay, that's what some Rishonim say. The Rav says, no, Rechush Gadol means as follows. Bnei Israel are leaving Mitzrayim. They've been slaves for several hundred years. They have a slave mentality. Hashem wants them, hey, you have to feel free. You're a free nation. You're an aristocratic nation. You're the Abba Nifcha. Hashem wanted us to sort of get rid of that slave mentality. Slaves have no wealth. So the fact Hashem wanted us to be rich when we left Mitzrayim. So we're not slaves anymore. We're rich. We're our own people. We're our own independent nation, independent to serve Hashem and become the Abba Nifcha. So the Rav's shot in Rechush Gadol parallels his shot in Kol Dichten. That's one shot I heard that the Sikh agreed. The other shot that the Rav says over in the Gushes of the Rav is a whole different angle. The Torah, whenever the Torah talks about helping out a Ger Yisrael v'almana, it always says, help out the Ger Yisrael v'almana. Why? Ki geirim hayisem v'yeretz v'tzayim. Because you used to be slaves yourself in Mitzrayim. Meaning, help out people who have tzaras. Because you used to have tzaras yourself. So the Rebbe explains shot in the Pasuk, it's not a question of shot, that Hashem is saying, listen, A Jew is supposed to have a sensitive soul, supposed to care for others. Think about where you came from. You had nothing. You were slaves. I took care of you. And the same way you had nothing. And you know what it feels like to have tzaras. And I came and I helped you. It's your job as a nation to make sure you help those who have tzaras as well. So the fact that we were slaves in Mitzrayim, and the fact that we are aware of that and we think about it, is supposed to inspire us and motivate us to have better care for those who are less fortunate than we are. That's pshat in the pasuk. The Rav said, that's why you invite guests over as the Seder starts. We literally just said, Halach Manya, Tiyachla Be'arad Mitzrayim. We used to be slaves in Mitzrayim. As soon as you mention, we used to be slaves in Mitzrayim, what's the next sentence? Invite people over. When a Jew thinks about the fact that he used to be a slave in Mitzrayim, that should immediately spur him to help out people who have tzaras, who are weaker than he is. That's a beautiful shot. That's the second angle, why we invite people over as the Seder begins. I heard from Rav Schechter on tape, a third shot that the Rav gave. It's similar to the second shot, it's really a different shot, which is as follows. In Mitzrayim, we became a nation. We became a nation. We were forged as one unit. The fact that we suffered together, we bonded together, we became a nation, we left Mitzrayim as a unified nation. A group of individuals, a group doesn't feel a sort of a need to help each other out. We're individuals. You're you, I'm me. We're not connected. A nation is a unit. If you're a nation, you're a unit. So as a nation, you feel a more natural inclination to help out everyone else in your group. Because you're not some a set of individuals. You're a unit, a nation. So the Rav thought that since at the Leil HaSeder, we're describing the fact that we were slaves in Mitzrayim, now we're a nation, immediately what do? Invite people over. Because being a nation means helping out other members of your unit. It's not some individuals. You're part of the same unit. The Rav Schechter said, the Rav explained, that might be the background of Moos Chitin. Moos Chitin is a special mitzvah to give tzedakah, Erev Pesach, to help others have matzah for Pesach. The Gemara has a whole word that there's a remnant in the Torah from Moos Chitin. It's a word from the Gemara. The Rav said, how come, there's always an Indian of giving tzedakah, you know, before Yom Tov. But why in Pesach there's a special Indian? So the Rav thought, this is the Pshat, this is what Rav Schechter said, that since we became a nation on Pesach, so the obligation, the need to give tzedakah and help others is more acute on Pesach than any of the Yom Tov of the year. And that might be the idea where Moos Chitin came from, that there's a special mitzvah of tzedakah, Erev Pesach, which goes together with, which accompanies the idea of becoming a nation. Sri Manishtana. The Rebbe used to point out, also in the name of Rav Chaim, that if you read the Rambam carefully, it sounds like the father is the one who says the Manishtana. The Rambam says, V'omer HaKore, and the one who reads the Haggadah says Manishtana. The way Rav Chaim explains the Rambam is, you do things in the Seder to stir your child's interest, pique his interest. He asks whatever he wants, whatever's on his mind. And then, in response to whatever your son asks, you, the father, say Manishtana. That's how Rav Chaim reads the Rambam. In many homes, after the kids say Manishtana, the adults and say it as well. Why? So the Rav explained, that's a remnant from this Shita Sarambam. That even though in our homes the kids say the Manishtana, those of you that your custom is that after the kids say it, the father says it as well. Why is the father saying it? Oh, because according to the Rambam, the Rambam says, "Va'omer HaKore," it sounds like I have a chiyuv of saying Manishtana. In other words, Manishtana is the preferred way to begin telling the story. Manishtana is how you start telling the story. It's not stam what the split. It's not only what the son might be asking. It's what I'm saying in response. That's how you tell the story. What's the shot that Manishtana is how you tell the story? So here the Rav said two pshatim. One is found also in the Aruch HaShulchan. The phrase Manishtana does not have to be interpreted, why is this different from all other nights? The Rav pointed out that Al-Fizikduk, a better way to say that would have been Lama. Lama. Lama means why. If you read the Aruch HaShulchan says this, Manishtana might be an exclamatory statement. Manishtana, I was going to call Leilos. And the Rav thinks, according to this Pshat in the Rambam, that might be the Pshat Manishtana. Manishtana is a way of exclaiming, how tonight's so different, unbelievable, what a difference tonight is. That's the way you tell the story. Not a question, why is this night different from all other nights? But how different is tonight from all other nights? And the Rosh Hashanah basically says that pshat. So that's one approach given Rav Chaim's pshat in the Rambam, that the father saying Manishtana is part of the story. What's the pshat? It's an exclamatory statement. How different is tonight? The other thought the Rav said is that it might be a deeper idea here. We know that the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be said derech sheila b'tshuva, questions and answers. Ki yishalcha bincha, your son asks and you answer. The Rav thinks this line in the Rambam might be implying that the idea of derech sheila b'tshuva doesn't only mean you're responding to a question. It might also mean that the way you tell the story is with a question and answer form. In other words, a question and answer form is an effective way of telling a story by the contrast, the question, the answer. Let me just explain this. Normally we assume, why is the mitzvah of Sibra Hitzayim Derech Sheila B'Tshuva? Because we assume that if a child asks a question, he'll be more excited about hearing the answer. If it's your question, father, and I'm telling you a story, to answer your question, you'll listen better, it's a good educational tool, and that's correct. But the Rebbe is saying another idea. It might be that just how you tell the story itself, you tell the story in a question and answer form. Hey, why is it different all the night? Oh, here's the answer. Because the Gemara says, even two Talmid Chachamim who know the story are supposed to ask each other questions. They know the story. They're still supposed to ask each other, but why? Why are they asking each other questions? It seems that even if you know the story and your interest is very high, still that's the best way to tell, possibly the best way to tell the story. The Rav pointed out, the Madayik, this, at the end of Magid, we say, Amar Rav Gamliel, these three things you have to say to Seder, Pesach, Matzah, Umara, and we explain, Pesach, Shanochim, Al Shuma, Kama, Al Shum, Shepasach. Interesting language. The Korban Pesach that we ate, Al Shuma, why, Kama, Al Shum, She, because, Pasach. Notice the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says, Pesach Shana Oklin, Al Shein Sheh, Al Shum Sheh. Doesn't have the question. It's interesting. In the Haggadah, when you read Rabbi Gamliel, there's a question there. It's very interesting. In the Mishnah, the Mishnah says as follows. Mas Zu Shana Oklin, Al Shum Sho Hispin. Read the Master because. In the Haggadah, it says, Mas Zu Shana Oklin, Al Shum Ma, why? Al Shum Sho Hispin. The Rav pointed out that it seems very subtly the Baal Haggadah wanted to put a question answer into the story of my Rabbi Gamliel as well. The Rabbi Gamliel's comment should itself be said Derech Sheila B'Tshuva. So the Rav thinks that what we see in the Haggadah over there, Rabbi Gamliel, might be the pshat in the Rambam here by the Omer HaKohen. Next, Haseba. The Rav used to give Shir and Mariah on Tuesday nights. The Rav used to come into YU on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and give Shir Tuesdays and Wednesdays. He lived in Boston. And Tuesday night he'd give a Shir for Balabatim, actually, and Rabbanim, in a show in New York in Mariah. The story goes as follows. It was a Gemara Shir, and middle of the Shir, the last half hour, the Shir was on the Parsha. You know what, when you're at a Shir and like people take out the notebooks, you go to the rushing of the papers? So the story goes, that when the Rav ended the Gemara section, you heard all the papers rustling. Why? Because all the Shir rabbis in New York City got their sermon from the Rav Tuesday night. Because the Gemara said they came for, that was fine. But they wanted the Parsha stuff for their sermon. So for the sermon, they all started taking notes to have their sermon ready for Shabbos. Anyway, Rav Shechter, when he spoke about the Rav, he said that describing the Rav Shir was so incredible, was so shmacking. He described how when he was in Shir, he felt like the Malachi Asharis came to listen. He said the Rav brought the Gemara to life, and you felt that Tanaim and Amorim were in the room with you when the Rav was giving Shir. That's what Rav Shechter described. Rav Shechter said that when I was in Yeshiva, the saying was, in YU we have Kriya Torah on Mondays and Tuesdays, on Mondays and Thursdays, and Kabbalah Torah on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That's the way the boys felt when they were in the Rav Shir. Okay. Anyway, so the Rav was nifter over Pesach 10 years ago, so I think it's appropriate to talk about some of these things at this time of the year. So the Rav used to demonstrate that people with Seva We'll do this every year. Haseba means leaning comfortably on something else. And a lot of people, when they do Haseba, they sit at their chair and they lean to the left, trying to balance themselves on the center of gravity like gymnasts. Highly uncomfortable. That's not Haseba. It doesn't make any sense that this is Haseba. The Rav said what they did in Balazhin was very simple. You turn your chair sideways. He would demonstrate this. And you lean like this. This is very simple and very comfortable. This is how you do a seva. A pillow is better. But without a pillow, this way you do for a seva. Let's set it every year, and it's obvious. The other way doesn't make any sense. You're teeter-tottering on a point of center of gravity. That's not comfortable. This is a comfortable way to lounge when you need something. And that's how the Rav used to demonstrate a seva each year on this topic in Meraim. Avadim Hayinu. We begin the answer to the four sons with Avadim Hayinu. It's interesting. Avadim Hayinu is the pasuk in the Chumash, which is the answer to the Chacham's question. The Torah has the various questions of the Chacham Tam and the Rasha. They're in the Chumash in different places. So the Chacham's question is in Brian Karakdal, Maha'edos Tahukim, what are all these laws that you're teaching us, all the mitzvos? And the answer is, in the Chumash, in Devarim, Avadim Hayinu. So it's striking that Avadim Hayinu, that pasuk, Avadim Hayinu Vavim Mitzrayim, is the pasuk which is the answer to the Chacham in the Torah, and that's the answer which we get to the Manishtana. So it seems, the Rav pointed out, that we're giving the answer to the Manishtana, the official answer, is the Chacham's answer. So later they found, the Rishonim said this is in the Shibboleth HaLechet. The Shibboleth HaLechet says this, that the Avadim Hayinu is the answer to the Chacham which we use at the Seder. In general, by the way, I think I may mention this last time, I'm not sure. The Briskers very often came up with very creative ideas. They didn't have all the Rishonim. And later people found that things that they said are in the Rishonim. Rav Chaim has a lot of tradition, which we found recently, are word for word in the Ritva. He didn't have the Ritva, but he cut up it on his own. He almost like a Rishon. This happens a lot. When you're thinking the right way in learning, you end up being mechaveh to what the Rishonim say. Anyway, so Shibboleth HaLechet says this. Good. So the Rav explains, the next point I think is obvious. I didn't see other people point it out. I said, Mamash Pasha Chad. I just, could be other people said it first, but I looked around a lot. I didn't see anyone else who said it first. Why do we give the Chacham's answer to the Manishtana? So the Rav said very simply, because the Manishtana is the Chacham's question. The Tam doesn't know enough to ask all those questions. The Rasha, he's in an attacking mode. He isn't in the mode, oh, what's this, what's he's attacking? It's clear, it's not a Pashat Shat. The Manishtana is an elaboration of the Chacham's question. What is the Chacham's question? Maha in the Torah. Maha Eidos Be'ahukim Be'amishbatim. What are all the laws that Hashem commanded us? That's what the Manishtana is. The Masa, the Maror, in the time of the Midrash, the Karban Pesach. That's what the Manishtana is. So therefore it makes a lot of sense that we use the answer to the Chacham to respond to the Manishtana, because the Manishtana is basically the Chacham's question. Makes a lot of sense. The Rav pointed out, yeah. Right. Oh, in economics. So if you have an exclamation, so then right, I guess that would be a different angle. I'd have to think about how that would fit. But if it's an exclamation, you have to be, maybe it would fit.
Right. This word, yeah, so clearly, this word of the Rav on Avadim Hayinu is working with the standard pshat that the Manishtana is questions, and Avadim Hayinu is an answer to the question. If you go with the Rav Chaim's approach in the Rambam, that Manishtana is how you start telling the story, so then, right, this word doesn't go with that. This word's going with the standard pshat that Avadim Hayinu is the answer to the questions of Manishtana.
Okay. Well, but the Rav pointed out, interestingly, I mean, other Rishonim don't have, you know, other Rishonim say is the question, you know, just, you know, that could be the Rambam, it could be other Rishonim. It's interesting, we add a word though. It's not a direct quote from the Chumash. The Chumash says, Avadim Hayinu Fav Mitzrayim Vayetenu Hashem, etc. We add in the word Elokeinu. The word Elokeinu isn't in the Chumash. Very interesting. Why do we do that? I mean, we're quoting the pasuk, basically. I mean, it's the same word, except we change the word Elokeinu. Why do we do that? So the Rav set up shot here that has two levels. First, halachic, and then a beautiful Jewish. The halacha goes as follows. The pasuk itself in Devarim says, "Ve'amarta levincha," and you shall say to your son, "Avani mitufam mitzrayim." Now we don't quote that. Why don't we quote that? Because we're speaking to ourselves. You don't have to say, "Oh, and you shall say to your son." You're talking to your son. So therefore, we read out the first two words of the pasuk. Ah, the Achronim ask, there's a din in the Gemara called Pesuka to a pasuk Moshe benu Anan o pasukina. We're not supposed to say partial pesukim. We don't make up our own pesukim. Either you quote the pasuk fully, or don't quote the pasuk. Don't quote half pesukim. For example, here's Friday night. We start by Erev Boker. That's part of the pasuk. Yom HaKishi, that's part of the pasuk. So that's what I'm talking about. How do we do that? How is that allowed? Some talk it on. Some have a formula. They say under their breath, Vayar Elkin. Vayelkin is called Asher or Sevinet Elbon. Vayar Boker. They say it under their breath first. Some people do that. That's a formula. But most don't. So there's a whole question, why don't, you know, how do we have a pasuk? So the Rav said, we're using the Chacham's pasuk, the answer to the Chacham's pasuk. But we're leaving out the first two words. We have a shaila of saying a pasuk in its non-complete form. Therefore, the Baal HaGadah said we have to add a word. So now it's not the pasuk anymore. When you add a word, you're changing. It's not the official pasuk. You're changing the form of the pasuk. So now you're not quoting the pasuk word for word partially. You are saying the sentence based on a pasuk. That's okay. I'm allowed to say a tefillah which is based on a pasuk. So that might be why we add a word, because we don't want to change the pasuk to avoid this halachic problem of quoting an official less than complete pasuk. Well, so why do we say Elokeinu? Why do we choose that word? So here the Rav said Al Pi Drush very beautifully that the whole purpose of reading the Mitzrayim was to become the Yama Nipcha, to serve Hashem, get the Torah. So any time the Baal HaGadah had a chance to put that into the Haggadah, Elokeinu, Hashem, our God, he's becoming our God tonight, they wanted to put it in. Elokeinu is the word Elokeinu is an addition. The Baal HaGadah wanted to get into the Haggadah because anytime the Baal HaGadah could emphasize this notion that the purpose of leading Yisrael was to become Hashem should be our Elokeinu, but the Mekabal HaMal Kishamayim, that's what he would try to do. And that's why the Baal HaGadah, he had to add some word. He added Elokeinu that fits with the theme of the Leil HaSeder. He says here, "Lochein hosi Baal HaGadah Elokeinu, Kromar, Shemesafrin, Shehashem Otsenu Mitzrayim, who Elokeinu, he's our God now. And after Mekabal HaMal Kishamayim, Amalku Shamayim, etc." Okay. That's the rough shot in Avadim Hayim. Next. The mitzvah of separation of time. The Rav held, he had several diukim, the Rav held that the mitzvah is to tell the story to Amkus deeply, not just tell the story and quote ice stories and quote midrashim, try to delve into the essence and the depth of the story. This is here, it's an Osiyah test. They quoted the Gra, said basically the same thing. He would quote the Gra. The Gra had something like this as well. The Rav felt that it's not just to tell the story, it's to get involved in the story and analyze the story very deeply. And with that Yisod, the Rav explained two ideas. Number one, he explained three ideas. Number one, it says the Maisa Rabbi Elazar, these five Tanaim sat together in Bnei Brak, right? They sat together in Bnei Brak. That was Rabbi Akiva lived. These Tanaim lived in different cities. Now, it sounds like they bedaska got together to have the Seder together. Why did they bedaska get together to have the Seder? Why did they have the Seder in their own city? This question, the Mepharshim discussed this question. Yerach Shulchan has a long discussion of this in his Haggadah. Others discuss this question. Throughout the difference of Shas. Since the Chiyuv is to analyze and delve into the story deeply, the Tanaim wanted to have it together because they wanted to share insights and get greater depth with the deeper Chaveirim. And that's why the Bedaska had to say this together, the five of them. Because they wanted to have a better chance of delving into it qualitatively more deeply. And that's why the Daska had the Seder together, even though they lived in different cities. That's one decree. A second point is as follows. And this, the second point other people said as well, but the Rav said it in the context of this divorce, which I'll explain. It says that Abelazar ben Azariah was one of the five Tanaim, and they were up the whole night discussing the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So most Achronim hold as follows. Abelazar ben Azariah holds that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten by Chatzos. Most Achronim hold that, or therefore, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim was also only until Chatzos, according to Abodzev and Adam. That's what Minchas Sinuf says, and Rov Achronim. In other words, according to Abodzev and Azariah, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim ends at Chatzos. That's the view of Rov Achronim. So the question of the Achronim asked is, why was he up the whole night? According to him, the mitzvah ends at Chatzos. That's a very famous question. The one answer they give is, in a chanan. He was, the mitzvah ends at Chatzos for him. But Rabbi Kiva holds the whole night. And since they were in B'nai Bak, Rabbi Kiva's city, so off cover to Rabbi Kiva, he stayed up the whole night with them. But for him it was, you know, he knew, he said, me, the mitzvah's over. I'm doing this now for mitzvah cover to Rabbi Kiva. In other words, in Abodzev and Azariah said, after Chatzos, his discussion of the Yetzias Mitzrayim shifted from mitzvah sifur to mitzvah kavod haTorah, mitzvah gvilas chasadim, helping others to do their mitzvah, according to Rabbi Kiva, but that's not his own mitzvah. Okay. They were up there a different time. Others say this as well, that no, they lost track of time. That's the shot. Since the nature of the mitzvah is to delve into it deeply, that's goofy what the story is saying. They were so involved in the story, they lost track of time. And the Rav explains, if the story is just tell the story, quote stories, quote midrashim, so then it's hard to be losing track of time. But if the nature of the mitzvah is to get into the depth and the amkus of the story, you can imagine someone just losing track of time because he's so involved in understanding every nuance deeply of the mitzvah of sequel. That's the second point. Now, the third point, the diuk point, this is interesting. The language of the Haggadah is mitzvah l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. It says here, v'chol hamarbe l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim reiz v'meshuvah. The other possibility could have said chol hamarbe l'saper es sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim or es Yetzias Mitzrayim. B'y implies delving into the story itself, delving into it. L'saper es means telling the story. L'saper b'y means you're involved in the story itself. So the Rav thinks that al pidistuk, the bay versus s fits better with this notion that koham arba harayzim meshubach is not just quantitatively, but it's also qualitatively as well. Okay, 7 and 8, we're going to skip. 7 we'll skip for now. 7 is a very, very long marafa. Maybe I'll say it at the end. And 8 we'll skip for now as well, for the same reason. Okay, 9. What's the lesson? This is Mitzvah of the Avodah Zarah HaYavatzeinu. It says, V'achshav Kevanu HaMakom Avodatzo. Now Hashem has brought us close to Avodatzo. So the Rav pointed out, there's Pasuk Shav, when you read the Rambam, this is the remez to Matan Torah. And the Rav explained, it's not his own Kiddush. The Avodah Ram says it, and other Rishonim say it. It says in the Mishnah, Mas Kedrit to Messiah in the Shavah. And there's a machlokas in the Gemara, how you master the business. One Amora says, Avadim Hayinu, we were slaves. Another Amora says, B'chilu over there, Avodah Zarah Hayinu, we used to be over there, Avodah Zarah. So if you read the Rambam carefully, the Rambam sounds like that just like they argue on the master of business, they also argue on the Messiah and the Shabbat. That the Amora who held master of business, Avadim Hayinu, physical, what's the Messiah and the Shabbat? Physical, we're free physically. The Amora that holds Master Belus is spiritual. We used to go over there, but Azara. What's the Messiah in the Shabbat? Read the Rambam carefully. Spiritual. Hashem, Hashem made us a chosen nation. He gave us the Torah on our Sinai. So this phrase, Kevanu Makom Lavodaso, is the a reference to Kabbalah to Torah, and that's the purpose, the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we'll get to later. The goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not the physical freedom of Pesach, but really the spiritual freedom, which culminated on Shavuot. That topic we'll discuss a little bit later. Okay. It says here that the Haggadah quotes the pasuk Hashem says to Avram, "Yadoa teida kiryah zaracha," and then it says, "The gam asgleishi avodu don anofi," and also the nation that nation I will judge them don anofi. Here the Rav quoted a word from a Chaim, and then expanded upon it. As follows. The future tense of judging would be adun. The word done is a little strange there. I will judge them. It's a little strange. The normal future tense would have been adun, I will judge them. The Chaim said as follows. There's one medrash which talks about that when Hashem judges the Goyim on Lasi Lavo, Hashem will be standing. Another medrash says he's going to be sitting. What's the pshat? Standing, sitting? The Chaim said as follows. That when Hashem comes to punish the Goyim and judge them, he's not just going to be the judge. He's also going to be the Baal Din, the litigant, who makes the claim. In a court case, al pi halacha, the Baal Din stands and the Shoftim Din sits. So the Medrash means, first Hashem is going to be standing as the litigant. Then he's going to shift gears and go sit and be the judge. That's shot in the Medrash. Meaning that Hashem is not just going to be the judge of the Goyim, Hashem is going to also be the prosecuting attorney, the Baal Din. And Reb Chaim thinks that's shot in this phrase. Dun means not I will judge them, but I will struggle with them. Dun means I will struggle with them. I will be the Baal Din. I will fight with them. And that's the remnant of this pasuk, that Hashem will be not only the judge, but also the Baal Din. Okay? The Rav explained, why would Hashem have to be the Baal Din? I mean, why is there not that? Why can't we be our own Baal Din? I mean, we know what the Goyim did to us, don't we? We'll get to Lasi Lavo. Hashem sitting as a judge. The Goyim are here saying X. We're saying, no, X, Y, you did all these bad things. You have to be punished. How come Hashem has to be the Baal Din himself? Why can't we be our own Baal Din? Rav Shechta quotes from Rav and Nefesh HaRav the following idea. The Jews can't be their own Baal Din because we don't know all the bad things the Goyim did. We're only aware of things that the Goyim did to us. What about the many times they planned to do things against us, tried to do things against us, but they were foiled at the last second? Hashem foiled their plan. We're not even aware. So the Rav calls it Taininon. Hashem has to do Taininon for us. We're not even aware of all the things the Goyim attempted to do against by Goyim. Hashem has to start Machshava L'maisa. So they have a Machshava Ra, they deserve to be punished for that as well. But only Hashem knows all the Machshavas Ra said that they had against us. And either the Rav said, or I heard from Rav Serebnik when I was in Shalavim. That's a long time ago. When I was in Rav Serebnik. One second, just one second. Yeah. This is from Rav Serebnik. If you look in the Hallel, we say, look in the Shem Aleph. We say, Az Yomu Bagoyim, Hidu Hashem Lachas Yimeva, Hidu Hashem Lachas Yimani. Sounds like the Goyim are going to praise Hashem first. The Goyim will praise first, and then we're going to praise Hashem. How was Hashem called Goyim? Shabhu Kol Ha'omim, Higubar Leinu Chazdo. The Goyim will praise Hashem when Hashem does good things for us. So Rav Shedman said, yes, this is the pshat, that on one level, the Goyim will have a greater appreciation of Hashem's godless, blessed level, because they're going to say, oh my gosh, they know all the things they did to us, and all the things they tried to do and were stopped at the last, and they wanted to and they stopped at the last, and we didn't even know about them. Rav Shedman said in this context, he said that in Shalavim, that before Yom Yerushalayim, they celebrate Yom Shalavim. At least they used to when I was there. And he said during the Six-Day War, Shalom used to be on the border with Jordan. They found detailed plans in some Jordan Arab village to wipe out Shalom house by house. So when they discovered those plans, they said, the Six-Day War was not just a general Yeshua for Klal Yisrael, it was a personal Yeshua for us. Because they wanted to come wipe us out house by house. So Rav Shemek said, we happen to discover those plans. And what if we didn't discover those plans? We'd have never known about it. That may have happened 1,000 times. Our plans to attack us, we don't know about it. That's exactly this idea. That's why Hashem has to be the Baal Din himself. The Rav said that's shot in the Tzilu, we say in Al Nisim. Rav says, Rivam, Dant Hashem, Tant Hashem, Masam. Hashem fights the battles, judges them, and takes vengeance. That's the pshat. First Hashem fights the battle. He's the Baal Din. Vendanta, past tense, he judges them. Then the Kamtar Nikmasam, he takes vengeance. So that those three phrases there fit with the Chaim's pshat in Udon versus Adun. Next, when Bnei Yisrael come down to Mitzrayim, so when Yosef's brothers come down to Mitzrayim, so Yosef advises them to, when they come to Paro, when they come to Paro, they say as follows. They say, Ragur Ba'aretz Banu, he came here just to, not to settle, just to live, you know, not to settle. Ragur, a Gerim. Ki Ein Miro L'Tzon Asher La'Avodecha. Ki Kaved Arav Ba'aretz Kanan. Because there isn't enough Mira. Mira was pasture. There's not enough pasture for our sheep. Because there's a famine in Eretz Kanan. That's why they came. What about their kids? What about the kids having food? They only mentioned the fact that they didn't pasture for their cattle? The Rav said, based on Rashi, as follows. Yosef was concerned of assimilation. Yosef wanted to make sure that the brothers would not assimilate amongst the Egyptians. And Rashi says that Yosef said, listen, when you come to Paro, tell him that you want to be that all you know how to do is raise sheep and be shepherds, and then he'll keep you separate from the Mitzrayim because you know the Mitzrayim for them the sheep are their god and it's Tereva and they don't want to be close to you if you're shepherds. That's what Rashi said. So the Rav goes one step further. Yeah, Yosef also told them, when you speak to Paro, you make it sound to Paro like the only reason you're here is because you want to be shepherds. It's even more important to you than food for your kids. It was for, you go, for your kids, you go back and you find food for your kids somewhere in Eretz Yisrael if you have to. So the fact that they mention the pasture for their sheep instead of or before food for their children was part of this idea that emphasizing we're here because we want to be shepherds. That's the only reason why we're here. And if we can't be shepherds, we're going home. And that way Paro will set them aside in Goshen and be different, let them be shepherds away from the Mitzvah. So the Rav thinks that the Diuk and the Pasuk, that the Pshat and the Pasuk is an extension of what Rashi says. What Rashi says, the basic idea, that Yosef advised them how to teach the Paro in a way that they'll end up being separate from the Mitzvah, because they don't want to be shepherds. As an extreme expression of that, Yosef told them, yeah, you tell Paro you're here to be shepherds, and that's why you're here, period. And that's why all they mention is Miro. It's a very strange custom. That's why they're mixed up with Miro with Dome. What about their kids? The answer is, speaking to Paro, that's what they wanted to emphasize in order to make sure that he makes them shepherds with a Goshen away from the rest of the mixture. Next, by Shmas Kolein. It's a beautiful pshat in Tfila. Beautiful pshat. It says in the Haggadah, we cried out to Hashem, by Nitzakal Hashem, and it says, we're up to number 12, by Yishma Hashem Es Kolenu, Hashem heard our voices, and he saw our Oni, our Malino, and our Lachatein. The pasuk sounds like as follows. It sounds like we davened, Hashem heard our cries, and then he also saw other things which we didn't cry about necessarily. That's what the pasuk sounds like. We cried out to Hashem. Hashem heard our cries, and then he saw all these other things. So the Rav says, we see here Yesod and Sfila. So the Jew has a lot of sorrows. 25 different sorrows. If you turn to Hashem about one or two of them, Hashem in his great rachamim will respond to you as if you turn to him about all 25. You have to turn to Hashem. Once you turn to Hashem, I need you, help me. Even if your kavana is help me in areas 1 through 5, Hashem on his own, in a sense, will have, in his great mercy, will treat you as if you've gotten for everything. That's Shah the Pasuk. Hashem heard our cries, whatever we cried about. And then on top of that, he saw our other terrors as well. This is the idea. When you start crying out to Hashem, he turns towards you. And then his mercy is stirred up. So once Hashem is sort of focused, I mean, obviously, Kaviyah, Hashem's always focused, but when you dive into Hashem, he's more focused on you than because you're davening to him. once he's more focused on you, he focuses also on all of your tzaros, and in his great rachem, it's a midah and tefillah. Daven about one thing, Hashem will respond as if you daven about all five things as well. It's a beautiful pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Barachem of HaRabim, Shemas Kolam, Vigam Ra'asan Yom HaMolam Bachasam, Ashtalai Paru. That's not a pshat in the pasuk. I think it's a very reasonable pshat in the pasuk. Next, Machas Bechorot. Why did Hashem pick on the Bechorot so much? Hashem, Machas Bechorot. So the Lord gives a very pshat of pshat. Based on the Ramban. The Ramban, in by Hovan Yitzchak Malo, points out that the Chumash says, first it says that the Jews worked for Sarei Paro, then it says by Abidu Mitzrayim, Espinei Shelba Paro. Ramban points out it seems to be a progression. First, we were slaves to Paro and his people, and then by Abidu Mitzrayim, Espinei Shelba Paro. Then we became slaves to all the Mitzrayim themselves. Here it says, "Vayivin arei mitznos l'paro." We built cities for Paro. Then it says, "Vayavidu mitznos." I said, "Grab a slave if you want." So all of the Mitzrayim, all of Mitzrayim enslaved us. So the Rav says, the way it was in the old days, the Bechoras were the heads of the family. That's where the system was. The Bechoras were the heads of the family. The Moschach were the heads of the family. So therefore, when you had the Egyptians enslaving Bnei Yisrael, family by family, who were the heads of the families that were enslaving us? The Bechoras, because that was the custom in those days. The Bechoras were, he says, Nina Galumos. So Mashka Bechoras for Bnei Beisam. The firstborn ran the homes. So in a sense, who were the leaders of the enslavement? That's the Bechoras. And that's why they were punished the most severely.
14 and 15 about Hallel being Shira. It's a famous idea, but the Rav said it over and explained it very well, and with several applications.
That at the Leil HaSeder, when we're saying Hallel, it's not Hallel about an historical event, it's a Hallel about the nace that we just experienced ourselves. There's Hallel B'Shach HaNes, when you're the Baal HaNes. Then there's a Hallel about a miracle. So the Rav explained, Adam said this as well, that at the Seder it says, Chai of Adam, Liros et Atz Mubyasi Mitzrayim. You have to be yourself as if you're like Mitzrayim. And then, Lepichach Yabzit is the Hallel. So the Pichach Hallel at the Seder is in response, Lepichach, therefore, it's in response to the fact that we just left Mitzrayim ourselves. Now we have to say Hallel. That's Hallel B'Shach HaNes. You're experiencing the miracle and you burst forth in song. We're doing now 14 and 15 together. Rav Haigon says, why is there no bracha on Hallel B'Leil HaSeder? Rav Haigon says, because Hallel B'Leil HaSeder is Shira. It's song. Hallel during the rest of the year is Kriya. That's the language of Rav Haigon. Shira and Kriya. Song versus saying. What's the shot of Shira versus Kriya? So this is the Brisker says, the Rav Blanco said this as well. And Rav said it also. It's exactly this idea. On a normal Yom Tov, there's a chiyuv tahara. There's a chiyuv simcha on Yom Tov. Simcha. Have nice clothes, good food. You're a simcha. Part of the chiyuv simcha is tahara. Halo expresses the simcha. Halo adds to the simcha. Fine. At the Leil HaSeder, it's not you're saying halo to add to your simcha as part of your simcha. You're saying halo in response to the miracle. You just experienced the Gilui Shechina. The language that I heard the name of the Rav was, Hallel at the Seder is a spontaneous response to Gilui Shechina. Boom! The Shechina is there, and you burst forth in song. And that's what Shira means. It's bursting forth in song versus Kriya. There's a mitzvah to read, now you burst forth in song. That's the chat why there's no bracha. A bracha was taken away from spontaneity. A bracha is formal. There's a rule. You have to do a mitzvah. First, say a bracha, think, and then do the mitzvah. The whole nature of the mitzvah of Hallel the Seder is supposed to be a spontaneous outburst. A bracha would stop and you say a bracha, a birchas mitzvah, would take away from the spontaneity. That's the That's the pshat in Rav Haigon, that it's a shira, and that's the pshat that at the Seder it's shira al hanes. And this is used by the Mefarshim to answer a famous kasha. I'm not sure if the Rav said this himself. Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. The Rav said it here, which is as follows. The Medrash says the Melachim wanted to sing shira at Kriya Shamsa. When Hashem said singing shira, my Seder told him, Bayam, the Jews, the Mitzrayim are dying. You can't say shira now. Okay. But Bnei Yisrael did say Shira, or Yashir. That's a famous kasha. How could Bnei Yisrael say Shira and the Melachim couldn't? That's a famous kasha. So one of the famous answers is this idea. There's a difference if you're the Baal HaNes or not. If you're the Baal HaNes, if you experience the miracle yourself directly, you have a right to say Hallel, even if some Goyim would kill. So the Jews were the Baal HaNes. They experienced it directly. The Melachim were outsiders. They were watching. So if you're an outsider who's watching, then if Goyim are also killed, so then you have to lower it a little, you have to keep it down a little, and you can't say Shira. That's why we said Shira and they couldn't. Oh, and how come we get to hallow at the Seder? Because at the Seder, we're Bali Hanes again. Because at the Seder, we just experience leaving Mitzrayim, and therefore, as a response to leaving Mitzrayim, we burst forth in song, so we're the Bali Hanes ourselves. I have a mashal about this Shira versus Kriya. Could be you're too young for this mashal now, but we'll do the best we can. So in January, by the first Gulf War, as it was ending, the idea in January 1991. So the Bills are driving at the end of a very close Super Bowl, down by 1 point, driving up to the. Against the Giants. The Giants are about Bills are favored, and the Giants are the whole game plan are doing pretty well. They're driving down. Pocket has one play there where Jim Kelly slipped and he hurt his leg and he had to call an extra timeout. And it stopped. People don't remember that. But that extra timeout cost him the whole game. Anyway, they get down there, call timeout, a few seconds left. You're in New York, you're watching this, and Norwood gets up there, kicks the field goal, wide right. So as it goes wide right, you're a Giant fan. You burst forward and screaming, unbelievable, what your whole season comes down to this 5 seconds and you're jumping up and down. That's Shira. 5 years later, you say, wow, that was great, that was such an exciting time. It's a different experience. 5 years later, you think about how great it was when you experienced that. We don't experience it anymore. So the Havdil, that's how I picture Shira versus Kriya. Shira is experiencing a Kigoi Shira, boom, you burst forward. Then 20 years later, oh yeah, that was a nice miracle, Hashem, I'm happy about it. Different. So that's the, anyway, that's Shira versus Kriya. Okay, next, 17. Lechashon Ovarim Harvey. So the Shira I gave on Sunday, I mentioned that the Rav had a word there that it could be, that might be a din in the matzah, as opposed to a din in the Haggadah that we discussed then, that you're supposed to enhance the Chilas Matzah with telling the story of Sibur Yitzchak Shaim. But here there's another word here. This is not in Sikha Grit. They quote, this is quoted in the Masorah Journal. The Masorah Journal, they put out Sibur Yitzchak from the Rav. I think it's in Chel Yamon. I forget exactly where it was. It goes as follows. Rashi says, Lechashon Ovarim Harvey means Hallel and Haggadah. Say the Haggadah and the Hallel over the Matzah. Okay? So the Haggadah is said with the Matzah in front of you. The first half of Hallel, the Matzah is in front of you. Rashi's language is gomri. You finish the hallel over the matzah. It sounds like the entire hallel is said over the matzah. Yeah, that's a problem. How does that work? The second half of hallel, the matzah is finished. That's a kasha. Taka, some people at the Rav. Okay, that's a kasha. So one year the Rav set up shot that might be, that may be the idea of the fact that you can't eat after the Afikomen. You have to have Tom Matzah Bafiz. Maybe it's for this reason as well. You have to tell the story over the Matzah. The first half of the Seder of the Matzah is there. The second half of the Seder, it's not there. Ah, you have the Tom of the Matzah Bafiz. So you don't have the Matzah physically in front of you, but you have the taste of the Matzah in your mouth. So you're saying the second half of Hallel with the taste of Matzah in your mouth, and that's enough of a connection between the Sipur, the Hallel, and the Matzah. That's what the Rav said in Shir one year.
Attaka, they found later, the Kobo says it. Namash and the Kobo, one of the Rishonim. The Kobo says that shot, that one of the reasons why Chazal said, don't even ask the Afikoman, was to have the Tamas to be during the Hallel, so you can have a Kiyum of Lechem, Shonah Zerim Harbeh, for the second half of Hallel as well. 18, we're going to skip. It's a very, very long Marocha the Rav has on the two Hallels. Okay, I'll just mention one more short part and then too long. So I want to get back to a 7 and 8 before we end. Just one short part, which is as follows. I mentioned last time, the Rav was very into explaining Minhagim. We don't have ceremonies in Judaism. Every minute is based on something. It comes from somewhere. So it's striking. We sing the Shana Bava Yerushalayim twice during the year. Once at the Seder, and after Yom Kippur. Some people also sing it when they read the Sukkah. That's the minute. Shana Bava Yerushalayim, that's when you sing at the Seder, and mostly Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Why those two times? We don't sing it on Hanukkah. We don't sing it on Purim. We don't sing it on Shavuos. How come it's a double? That's when we sing it. We left the Mamas a Pashat shot. That there's a machlokas in Gemara Rosh Hashanah about when the gula is going to happen. So we have machlokas in the whole, I think, on Amud or Black Gemara, machlokas Tanayim. One Tana says that the gula is going to be in Nisan, and one Tana is going to be in Tishrei. And the Mamas, it's a heavy machlokas. For example, the pasuk Lel Shimurim. The relative is called Lel Shimurim. What does that mean? One Tana says Lel Shimurim means it's the night that's set aside and guarded for the gula. The other time, then the Gemara says, yeah. But what if you know the Gula is going to be in Tishrei? Then what does Lo Shimurim mean? The Gemara says it means it's the night where Hashem guards us from the mazikim, from our enemies. The point is, it's not Hashem machlokas in the sukkim, but it's a heavy machlokas tanoim. When do we believe the Gula is going to happen? So the Rav conjectured that our minhag of the Shana Bava Yerushalayim is basically an expression of both opinions, covering our bases. Either Nisan or Tishrei, the two times where the Jewish people sing as a nation, Lashon Rav Yerushalayim, are the 2 months of the year when the Tanaim say we're going to have the Geula, either Nisan or in Tishrei. It's a very beautiful yesod for that minhag of Lashon Rav Yerushalayim. Okay, these are some ideas that I've had on the Haggadah. If you're interested, there's a number 7, the big, big, big topic. It'll take another 15 minutes. The answer to the Chacham at the Haggadah is very strange. So we'll ask four kashas on the answer to the Chacham at the Haggadah. Kasha number one. The answer starts with the word ba'ah. Ba'ah, and also, amorlo, etc. It's very strange to start a question with ba'ah. Start an answer with ba'ah. What time is it? Oh, also it's 7:30. Huh? What? It's a strange answer. You don't begin an answer with the word ba'ah. Kasha number one. Kasha number two. Why don't we give the answer the Torah gives? The Torah gives an answer. Avadim, Hayin, Ofar, Mitzrayim. And then go on. Why don't we give the answer the Torah gives? Question 3. What is the answer? The Afa to Amorgo, Kihilchos Pesach, Eimatirin, Afa Pesach Afikomen. Don't even ask the Afikomen. Of all the meaning to pick, you pick that one. The Isser, Kidak Afikomen is a Isser Rabbana. Not supposed to be Rishon Rabbanan. It's a lot less severe than writing with your left hand on Shabbos. It's not such severe Rishon Rabbanan. That's what you teach your son at the Seder? That's it? Kasha number 3. And the main kasha, the huge kasha, the kasha which must be answered is, where's the story? The mitzvah is, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is your chacham. Here's your big chance. Here's the chacham. And what do you do? Okay, Abba, what are all these mitzvahs all about? Don't you have to ask me. What? What about the story? There's a mitzvah. Tell the story. The major bomb kasha. Okay. So the Malbim says the first two kashas answer each other. The Malbim says that ba'af implies you say something else first. What do you say first? The answer which Torah gives. That's the Malbim reads the answer. Your chacham asks you this question. Then you say to him, look, first, I want to say it's in Mitzrayim. And you also say this. That's a nice job. How come it isn't in the Haggadah? Because it's obvious. That's what it is. It's obvious. Of course it's obvious. You see what the Torah says. And you also say this, but also by the Rashi, he says the same thing. The Rashi also has Ah, the Malbim has the same thing by the Rashi as well. Okay. So the first two times they answer each other. Kasha number three. Don't even ask Rafi Kohn. So the Rav likes to quote that he thinks you don't just teach that one halacha. This is the Shonim Seri. The Ritzah says other sages as well. The Isser Tzidak Rafi Kohn is mentioned in one of the last Mishnayos of the Sefer Sukkah. So the Rav thinks the pshat in the answer is you tell your son at the Seder all of Hilchos Pesach up to and including the Ritzah Rafi Kohn. It's not time you choose that one halacha. No, everything. From A to Z. This is Z. It's the second to last mission in Sukkah. It's this halacha. Okay. But the fourth question, where's the story? Why are you doing this? Tell the story. What are you talking about? What are you teaching halacha at the Seder for? So I'll explain as follows. The basic purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get Torah on Har Sinai. The purpose of Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim was to make us the Am HaTorah. The Amanifa, the Amato with Torah Hasina. Leaving the shrine was the physical first step towards the ultimate goal, the spiritual goal of Shavuot, Matan Torah, and Shavuot. This is best captured by two Makoros. The Sefer Chinuch and Mitzvah Shin Vav says that's the idea of Spirit Omer. Spirit Omer is supposed to be the link from Pesach to Shavuot. By having the counting, you know that they're linked. Pesach is the beginning, counting up to Shavuot is the end. The whole purpose of the Yetzias Mitzrayim was to the Torah Hasina. The Ramban says in Emor that Sfiras HaOmer is like Chol HaMoed. That's the Ramban's Russian. It's an incredibly strong Russian. First day of Pesach, Chol HaMoed, last day Yom Tov. And 7 days of Pesach, Chol HaMoed, Shavuot. It's an incredible Ramban. It shows you the link between them. The Ramban calls Sfiras HaOmer Chol HaMoed. It's like one unit. That's why Shavuot is always called Atzeres. In the Torah, Shemini Atzeres is called Atzeres. And the last day of Pesach is called Atzeres. The last day of a unit is called Atzeres. Chazal calls Shavuot Atzeres. Why? Because Shavuot is the end of the cycle of the unit, Pesach up to Shavuot. Therefore, the Rav explains that Matan Torah is the last chapter as part of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you were writing a book called Exodus, it's usually Egypt. The last chapter of the story would be Matan Torah. You're at your Seder. And you want to bring Matan Torah into your Seder. What is the most concrete way to bring Kabbalah HaTorah into the Seder? Teach halacha. Torah means Hashem tells us what to do. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Teaching your son Hilchos Pesach is the end of the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's part of the story. Teaching your son Hilchos Pesach is bringing Matan Torah into the story itself. That's the pshat in the chacham. First day of the Torah says, we used to be slaves, you give the basic story. Then you get to the halacha and say, listen son, the purpose of leading the shalom was to get Torah in our Sina. And the Torah means halacha. How to live your life. We're now going to learn Hilchos Pesach to stay there as a way of bringing Matan Torah into the stay there itself. That's the Rav's approach to the answer to the chacham. That's point number one. Number two, Arami Dovid Avi. We tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim through Arami Dovid Avi. Arami Dovid Avi. Very strange. The Parsha in Kisavo, we take a phrase from the Parsha in Kisavo, and with that, and each phrase in the Parsha we explain with sukkim from elsewhere in the Chumash. That's what happens in the Haggadah. Very strange. If you were writing the Haggadah, how would you tell the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim? What would you do from the Chumash? How would you tell the story from the Chumash? What would you do? Open up the Shmos. Shmos, Ba'elah, Bo, Shalom. And tell the story. We do something strange. We open up Kisavo, and we use the Ramid over it up. Okay, that's strange. That's similar to scratching your right ear with your left hand. A little strange. The person discussed that. Why do you do that? Why does the Talmud do something strange? Open up the Chumash to Shmos. Why come to Kisavo? So the answer to that question. However, if you open up the Haggadah, we do quote the Sukkim in Shmos. We quote Sukkim in Shmos to explain the Sukkim in Arami Dovid Avi. That's very strange.
every phrase in Rabbi Novodavi is taken as a phrase, and then we explain, oh, that phrase means this, and we quote Pesukim in Shmos over and over again. Like in a lot of Haggadah, it's like it's bold black. That's the phrase in Rabbi Novodavi, and it's explained by the Pesukim and we quote Pesukim in Shmos all the time. So it's very strange. The Baal Haggadah does quote Pesukim in Shmos. He quotes the Pesukim, however, only to explain the Pesukim in Kvarim. This is very strange. Just quote the Pesukim in Shmos directly. Once you quote them already, anyway, it's like scratching your right ear with your right hand. For those of you who used to maybe read the Fantastic Four, after first taking your right arm, stretching it around your head, under your chin, and back under your ear, like stretch cord. That's very strange. Scratching your right ear with your right hand like that under your ear. Anyway, just quote them directly. That's a very strong kasha. The Baal Haggadah appears to him out of his way to be complicated. That's what's happening, as I say this. The Rav said exactly. The Baal Haggadah wants to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim through the medium of Talmud Torah analysis. More specifically, Torah Shebaal Peh. The Baal Haggadah wants to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim through the medium of Talmud Torah analysis, specifically Torah Shebaal Peh. This is different than we said before. Before we said learning Hilchos Pesach is the end of the story. Now the Rav's going deeper, and the Rav is saying not only to the end of the story, but the way you're supposed to tell the story is with the medium of Torah Shebaal Peh and analyzing. And the Rav is in the Daigus in the Lashon HaMishnah. It says Vidoresh Aran Udovidavi. You darshan, that's the nature of the mission. You darshan Aram Udovidavi. That appears to be what's happening at the Seder. That the Baal Haggadah did want to be complicated. He wanted you to be Torah Shebaal Peh. When you explain a pasuk in Devarim based on a pasuk in Shmos, that's Torah Shebaal Peh analysis. The Baal Haggadah wanted to tell the story through the medium of Torah Shebaal Peh. Why? So here is Rabbi Ganesh. The comment of the Rav. He has said about Gan Shoshanim. So he explained this next point. I think the Rav said it himself. It's unclear to me if he said quoting the Rav or expanding upon the Rav. Rabbi Ganesh is a very, very big fan of Rav Selvig. He's a very busy man. He will drop anything at any time to discuss the Rav. He drops it for now. Anyways, okay. He said as follows. The Leil HaSeder is the Leil HaMasovah. You're passing along the basics of Yisodos and Emunah to our children. The Baal Haggadah wanted to teach us a lesson that the Masorah is passed along through the medium of Torah Shebaal Peh. If you want your kids to have good hashkafas, if you want your kids to have the right approach to life, you can't just teach them hashkafa. You have to teach them to learn and to love learning and Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Baal Haggadah wants to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim through the medium of Torah Shebaal Peh, in order to emphasize this nekuda that Mesorah in Judaism means teaching your kids to learn, teaching them Torah, not just, oh, teach me Hashkafa. No. The Mesorah is passed along through Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is the Torah HaMesorah. So on the night of the Mesorah, we have to use the Torah HaMesorah. So therefore, we see that learning Torah is the end of the story, and learning Torah is the way you tell the story. That's point number two. And with those two points in mind, the Rav explained the following point, and with this we'll stop. Right before the four sons, the Haggadah says, Baruch HaMachem Baruch Hu. Baruch HaSpeh HaMaisel Baruch Hu. Very, very interesting paragraph. First of all, what does it mean and why is it there? So the Rav used to say that he thinks this paragraph is a miniature form of Birchas HaTorah. Baruch it's the language of Birchas HaTorah, and that's part of what the Shibel HaHalakit says that. Mama says it's word for word. It's Birchas HaTorah. Okay, she said Birchas HaTorah. Why are you saying Birchas HaTorah at the Seder? We're before the four sons. We didn't see Birchas HaTorah now before this year began. You don't see Birchas HaTorah again every time you want to tell it again. Why do you say Birchas HaTorah at the Seder? The Rebbe explained as follows. When you learn Torah of a different order, Chazal u'masakim, a new Birchas HaTorah. That's why you say a bracha when you get an aliyah from the Chumash. That's how I'm trying to explain. When a person gets an aliyah, you're learning Torah of the rabbi.
Not just a lot of people. Halachically, only with a minyan. So this is Talmud Torah. I'll see halacha daska b'rabbi. You have to have a minyan to learn. You're using the chutzah of the Torah itself. You're using the Torah itself. When you're learning Torah on a different plane, Chazal or Masakein, a new Birchas Torah. So the rough thing at the Seder, that's what happens. At the Seder, you're using Talmud Torah as at the Seder, the Talmud Torah at the Seder is of a different order. It's Talmud Torah injected with the mitzvah of Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim. It's a different type of Torah. A, learning Hilchos Pesach is part of the story. B, you tell the story through Talmud Torah. You are now involved in a new type of Talmud Torah. You're involved in Talmud Torah / mitzvahs, Sifur, Yetzirah Mitzrayim, and that's Mechayev, its own Birchas HaTorah. Therefore, for these two reasons, the fact that Talmud Torah is the end of the story, and the fact that you told the story through Talmud Torah, the rough things that might be the pshat in this Gola HaRekes, that Baruch Hanukkah Baruch Hu is a miniature form of Birchas HaTorah, which we say to begin this section of Magid, just like you make a new Birchas HaTorah and you get an Aliyah, it's going to start with a different order, a different plane, so to make a new Birchas HaTorah before Magid at the Seder, because it's Lima Torah on a different plane. This is some of the ideas that the Rav said over in different years on the Haggadah.
Before closing, I wanted to add a few points that I wasn't able to explain fully during this year itself. It was somewhat of a time constraint. So I just wanted to add these few points for clarity. Number one, the first idea that we discussed, the Yisod of the Nesivos, that any mitzvah that's done as a bracha, or in the framework of brachos, does not get its own brachos and mitzvah. So I didn't explain the svara. The svara is relatively straightforward. That many Rishonim say the basic purpose of a brachos and mitzvah is that it helps you get focused on your kavanah for the mitzvah itself. You say a bracha in order to say, yeah, I'm about to do a mitzvah. I'm saying a bracha as part of my focus, my hachana for the mitzvah itself. So if the mitzvah itself is performed as a bracha, so then by definition you're focused on Hashem when you're doing the mitzvah already, so in a sense you don't need a brachas mitzvah. That's a very pashtut svara, a beur, for what the Nesivos says, which is the first issue that we discussed. Then I mentioned the idea also that the Baal Hanes is allowed to say Shira. I just wanted to explain that a little better. The idea is as follows. My Siyad I told them Beya means that if there are people being killed, even if our enemies are being killed, you can't say Shira because, you know, the Simcha is somewhat muted by the fact that some, you know, Hashem's Beers are being killed. So the idea is as follows. If the Nes happens to you and you're the Baal HaNes, then you have a personal Chiyuv and you sing Shira. So that's why the Baal HaNes can sing Shira. If you're an outside observer, so then there's a plus, there's a minus. So there, as an outside observer, you can't sing Shira if my Sira Tovim Bayam. But if you're the Baal HaNes, then your personal chiyuv to react and to respond to the miracle is enough that allows you, is mechayiv you and allows you to sing Shira. Okay. We discussed the point of Lechem Oni. So I briefly referred to the following idea. It says Lechem Oni, Lechem Shonel Brem Harbe. You're supposed to connect the Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim over the matzah. So there's a Chakir one can raise about that. Is that Halacha Adin in the Haggadah or Adin in the Achilas Matzah? The Brisker Rav and others say that's Adin in the Haggadah. But just like there's a din of, let's say, saying Kiddush Al Yayin, there's a mitzvah to say Kiddush, and the mitzvah of Kiddush is enhanced when you have a cup of wines. So too, there's a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim, and that mitzvah is enhanced when the matzah is in front of you. Having that visual aid enhances the mitzvah. So that's the idea of Lechem Shonei Barim Harbe, that the mitzvah of Sipur is enhanced by having the matzah in front of you. However, there's another way to explain it. The other possible way to explain it is that Lechem She'onin Olav Barim Harbe means the matzah over which you say things, i.e.,
the mitzvah of achilas matzah is enhanced when you tell, when you explain why you're eating the matzah before you eat it. If you look in the Rach on the Gemara in Pesach on Kuf Tes Av Medes, the Rach says, what does lecha emtzoneh ver harbe mean? It means matzah, saying matzah zushan ochlim al shumma. So the Rav was medayik that it could be that that's the din of lechem oni. Lechem oni is not a din in enhancing the mitzvah of sipur by having the matzah in front of you. It's a din in enhancing the mitzvah of achilas matzah by explaining why you eat the matzah before you eat it. So that's the chakira that I referred to briefly during this year, and the Rav said that might be the pshat in the Rach, and the Rav also explained that's possibly pshat in the Rambam, but that's a whole different shear. That might be the pshat in the Rambam as well. One more point that I discussed the whole theme that the Rav explains the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim should be done derech Talmud Torah Shebal Peh. So one diuk I mentioned was the language of the Mishnah. The Rav says Doresh Aramid Obed Avi, but there's another diuk that the Rav made that when the Mishnah talks about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Mishnah uses an interesting word. The Mishnah says V'aviv Melamdo. Let me just read you the language of the Mishnah. It's the Mishnah on Kuf Tezayin Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, "Lefidaito Shobain, Aviv Melamdo." He teaches him. It doesn't say Aviv Masafo, which is Aviv Melamdo. So the Rav was medayik as well that the mitzvah of Sipur should be done by teaching your son. What does it mean teaching your son? So the language of Melamdo is ordinarily the language we use for Talmud Torah. So the Rav thinks that language of the Mishnah is also meduyuk with this yisod, that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim should be done b'derech Talmud Torah, b'derech involvement in Torah study, i.e., more specifically, Torah Shebal Peh, which is the Torah HaMasorah, as we explained. It's the Torah where you get involved in the Limud. That's the pshat Aviv Melamdo. You teach the story through teaching Torah Shebal Peh. Okay. And finally, I referred to that, I didn't discuss the Rav's approach to the Rashbam Shita about how we say Hal at the Seder, the second half of Hal, the Hal after the Suda. So I just want to explain that briefly now. When we say Hal after the Suda, so basically what we do is we merge two different things. First we complete the ordinary Halal, including Yehal Lucha, and then Ashkenazim say Yehal Lucha at the normal spot, but Ashkenazim just don't complete the Bracha Melech Malbetish Bachos. We stop at Kimel Be'arulam Atzokel. Then we go to Hodu Hashem Kitov. That's called Halal HaGadol. That leads into Nishmas. Nishmas leads into Yishtabach. And at the end of the Yishtabach, we have the Chasima. And we say the Chasima of Yishtabach, the normal Chasima of Yishtabach. And that Chasima said at the end of Nishmas. So basically, you say the Halal, the normal Halal. You finish the normal Halal. Then you say Halal HaGadol. Then Nishmas. And then Yishtabach. Now, the way the Rashbam learned the Gemara, you actually said two brachos. The Rashbam understands the Gemara to mean you finish the Halal normally, you say Halalucha, including the Chasima, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Malbet Yishbachos, and then you say the Halal Hagad, the Hodo Shem Kitov, Nishmas, and a second Chasima in Yishtabach. So, according to the Rashbam, you say two different brachos at the Seder, in the Halal, after the Suda. What's the pshat? So I also basically want to explain as follows, that basically there are two types of halals that we say, and there are two different halals, there are two distinct mitzvos, and the Rashbam thinks each separate halal must get its own separate chasima which fits with that form of the halal. It's not that we're merging two halals into one. We're saying two distinct halals have to say there, and each one gets its own chasima. The Rav explains that there's halal ha-mitzri, and then there's the halal as follows. The Gemara says this halal, something called halal ha-mitzri. That's the normal halal that we say. And the Gemara in Brachos also explains that Psukei de-Zimra also has a din of halal. Psukei de-Zimra also has a din of halal. And the Rav explains that this is the Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, that it says that halal b'chol yom, you're not allowed to say. But that's halal ha-mitzri. But the halal of Psukei de-Zimra, you're allowed to say b'chol yom. So that explains as follows. Halal ha-mitzri The Hallel of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's Hallel about a nes, miracles, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's about the fact that we were chosen as a nation. Hashem created us as a nation through the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is the theme of Hallel HaMitzri, the theme of Nisim Guyim, and the theme of Bechiras Yisrael. We are thanking Hashem for the Nisim Guyim of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Bechiras Yisrael. That's Hallel HaMitzri. Sukkot Zimra is basically Hallel on the Brias HaOlam. I'll call it Hallel on the Teva, thanking Hashem for the fact that He helps us in a normal way. So that's the pshat. Hallel on Teva, you can say every day. You have to thank Hashem every day for the Teva. Hallel HaMitzri, which is a Hallel of Nisim Guyim. So there Rashi says, if you say it every day, it becomes like Mizamer Shir Mitzvotzei. It's kind of like you're poking fun. If you talk about the Nisim Guyim every day, you're sort of demeaning and lessening them. Because they don't happen every day. They happen. Nisim Guyim are very, very special things. So either you say Hallel one day when you experience them, or you say Hallel every year when you think about them again, like on that Yom Tov. You don't say it every day, because by saying it every day, you'd sort of be lessening and sort of weakening the impact of an ace nigla. So the Rav said that the Hodu Hashem Ki Tov is also not a Hallel about Nisim Guyim primarily. It's a Hallel primarily of Teva. It's a Hallel on Brias HaOlam. We say there in the Hallel, Nosein Lechem Kol Basar Ki Leolam Chazdo. And the Gemara says that's why it's called Hallel HaGadol. Says Lerokar Talamayim Losi Oyim Gedolim Es Hashemesh and Es Hayareach. There's a heavy emphasis on the Brias HaOlam, and again on the ordinary daily miracles. Nosein Lechem Kol Basar Ki Leolam Chazdo, not the Nisim Guyim. And the Rav says that's why we say Nishmas after Hodu, because Nishmas as well isn't a particular bracha about Bechiras Yisrael and about the Nisim Guyim. It's a chasima, it's a long shevach to Hashem about the fact that He helps us in every aspect of our lives within the Bria itself. So therefore, here's what's happening at the Haggadah. First you say the normal Hallel, the Hallel HaMitzri, and it gets its own chasima. Then you shift gears into the other Hallel, the Hallel of Sukkot Zimra, the Hallel of the daily Hallel of on the Teva, on the Bria, and that needs its own chasima. Now how come at the Seder we don't say Taka the Pesukei Dezimra themselves? How come at the Seder we use the Hodu Hashem Ki Tov instead of the Pesukei Dezimra? So one answer one could say is that the Pesukei Dezimra would be too long, it would be too much of a tircha. Some of us can say that's why we use the Pesukei of Rami Dovid Avi. The Malbim and others say because it's a shortened version as opposed to all the psukim in Shmos Erebo B'Shalach. That mahalach that I just mentioned now is not the mahalach which the Rav said, but that's what the Malbim says. So it could be we don't say the long Pesukei Dezimra here because it would be too much of a tircha. Or the Rav says a little more sharply, the Rav says, why do we say Hallel HaGadol? Because it also Taka mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim. So even though the primary theme of Hallel HaGadol, Hallel HaGadol is the name that Gemara gives Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, is on the Teva and on the Brias HaOlam, but since it also mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, so when we're going to say a Hallel on Teva and Brias HaOlam at the Seder, we'd rather use what's also mentioned Yetzias Mitzrayim because it fits better into the Seder. So now you're saying the Hallel HaGadol on the Teva, and that gets its own chasima. Nishmas into Yishtabach is the chasima of that Hallel on the Teva. So that's the Pshat in the Rashbam. It's two different Hallels that are being said, and they each get their own chasima. And the Rav was Medayik, that the language of the Bracha of Yehalelucha talks about the Rav points out that the language of the chasima of Yehalelucha, of the Bracha of Yehalelucha, mentions V'chasidecha tzadikim osei ratzonecha V'chol amcha beis Yisrael barina yodu v'yivarachu. It mentions beis Yisrael as opposed to Nishmas. Nishmas begins Nishmas Kol Chai Tzibarech HaShemcha. And in the Chasima of Yishtabach, we don't mention a Beis Yisrael specifically. So Rav wanted to say as follows. Exactly. Hallel HaMitzri is Hallel on the Nisim Guyim. We were forged as a nation, Bechiras Yisrael in Mitzrayim to Nisim Guyim. So in the chasim of Kahala HaMitzri, Nihalucha, we mentioned Yisrael is going to praise Hashem. But the daily halal, Priyasa Olam, and the Hodu Hashem Kitov, which is taking the place of the daily halal of Sukkot Zimra, that halal relates more to the world at large in general. And that's why the chasimah there is Nishmas Kol Chai, Tabarich HaShemcha. And in the closing bracha of Yishabach, we don't mention Yisrael specifically. That's how the Rav explained the shitas of the Rashbam. Now the Rav explained further, which as follows, that he quotes from the Gemara Brachos and Daf Nun Dalet and the Rush as follows. If a person sees a place where an ace happened to him, he has to make a bracha. That's a din, he has to make a bracha. And the Rush explains that if, let's say, several nisim happen to a person in different places at different times, and if you see one of the places where an ace happened, then you have to mevarich Hashem on all the nisim that happened to you. And that's the psak of the Mechaber in Siman Reishit Ches Sifei. In other words, once you're mechuyav to thank Hashem and bless Hashem for one nace that was done, you also have to continue and be mevarich Hashem for all of the nisim which happened to you. The Rav's language is v'ein ha'al l'chatzayin. It's a ha'al l'chatzayin. Once you begin praising Hashem, you have to praise Him for everything. That's the din from the Rosh Shulchan Aruch. So the Rav thinks that's happening in the Haggadah. At the Leil HaSeder, we have a chiyuv to praise Hashem and thank Hashem for the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And once we're doing that, we have to continue to praise Hashem and thank Hashem for everything, i.e. including the Bria as well. And that's why we continue with the Hala of Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, of praising Hashem for that as well. So that's what's happening at the Seder. So it comes out as follows. According to the Rashbam, we're saying two distinct Halos. First, the Hala HaMitzri with its own Chasima, and then afterwards, the Hallel on the Bias on the Teva, on the Bias Olam, which is captured by the Hodu Hashem Kito, with its chasim of Nishmas leading into Yishtabach. Why are we saying both? Because once you believe to thank Hashem for the Nisim of leaving Mitzrayim, you have a further chiyuv to thank Hashem for everything, for all the Nisim, and the Bias Olam as well. So I just thought that our minhag is not like the Rashbam. We follow the Rov Rishonim who say that you don't say two separate chasimos. So I thought the pshat was as follows. The other Rishonim agree with the Rashbam that it's two separate halos. I mean, that just makes sense. I mean, if you read it, the themes are different themes. They agree with the Rashbam that Hala HaMitzri is Hala on B'chiyos Yisrael and Hala on Anais, and the Hala of Hodu Hashem Kitov Nishmas and the Chasim of Nishmas is more on the B'yos Olam of Teva. But these other Rishonim hold that since the Mechayev of the halal and the teva is the fact that you're praising Hashem for the halal for the nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so since it's one mechayev, memeilo we say one chasim or one bracha. In other words, they might agree it's two separate halals, but it's two separate cumulum of halal. But basically, the mechayev of the second halal on Bria Sa'olam is the fact that Hashem is the first halal, the halal hamitzri. I said the miracles for us in Mitzrayim. We re-experience those miracles. We then have to mevarich Hashem for those. That chiyuv of mevarich Hashem for those miracles leads into the chiyuv of mevarich Hashem for the Bias Olam. And the Meila, it gets one chasima. So that's the machokas Rishonim. Do we say that the two separate halos remain, the two separate cumulative of halos, remain two separate halos completely with two separate chasimas, or no? It is two separate kiyumim of halal, but since the mechayev is the same, we blend the two halals together with one chasima. Okay, so that's the last piece I didn't see in the Rav explicitly. I'm just adding it on my own. I just think it makes sense as a way to explain the machokas Rishonim. The majority view is what we do, only saying one chasima, versus the minority view of the Rashbam of saying two separate chasimos. I was explaining that machokas Rishonim based on the Rav's mahalich in the Shita of the Rashbam.
Just wanted to add one further point, which I didn't explain fully before. When the Rav is medayik in the language of the Brachos, it says in the Bracha of Yalucha,
it says, as we mentioned before, it says V'cholam chabeis Yisrael b'rina yod b'rira. Since that halach is about the b'chiras Yisrael, it mentions b'nei Yisrael to the praising of Hashem. As opposed to Nishmas says Nishmas kolchai. However, so but one can add further that at the end of Nishmas we say with Makalos Rivavos, and we say Beis Yisrael b'rina Yisfar Shemcha Malkeinu b'chol dor b'dor. Beis Yisrael has to praise Hashem. But then we continue, Shekin Chovas Kol HaYitzurim Lifanecha, that everyone has to praise Hashem. It's very striking. We do say B'nai Yisrael has to praise Hashem, but just like everyone has to praise Hashem, exactly. Nishmas is coming as a chasima for Pesukei Dezimra, as a chasima for Halel HaGadol. It's a chasima for the Halel on the Brias HaOlam. Everyone has to praise Hashem. Nishmas Kol Chai, Shekin Chovas Kol HaYitzurim. So even when it mentions B'nai Yisrael have to praise Hashem, the tefillah was out of its way to say Shekin Chovas Kol Yitzurim. I think it's very, very meduyuk, the contrast to the chasima of Nishmas and at the end of Gemachos Yirvos versus the chasima of Yehalucha. It fits very well according to the Rav's approach. One final point, I discussed the three approaches the Rav gave to why we do Kol Zichron Yesei V'Yehu. So I just noticed a fourth approach in the Siach HaGrid that as follows. We have the idea of Moos Fitzin. It's a very serious halacha of giving out money for people, for poor people to have matzah for the Seder. So you see the Indian of giving other people matzah, other poor people having matzah for themselves. So the Rav said, yeah, that's why you daf invite people in to have matzah. Because the point being that we want to invite people in that they should that whoever needs food, come and eat the matzah. Like Moos Fitzin. In other words, we want to make sure every Jew has matzah at their Leil HaSeder. So just like there's din of Moos Chitim, that's the tzedakah, there's also a din, invite people in to dafka have the matzah. There's some special inyan of being sure every Jew has matzah for Pesach. So it might be that the Kol Zichron Yesei V'Yehu is another type of example of what we do with Moos Chitim, this very big yisod, every Jew should have matzah for their Seder. Special inyan, again, as I mentioned another shir, the Gra found a remez in the Chumash for this idea of Moos Chitim, and that might be what's happening here in the Halach Ma'ani. Okay, I just wanted to complete those additional comments that I heard in the name of the Rav, or saw in the name of the Rav Zatzal, on the Haggadah and on the Leil HaSeder, and we'll stop here.